Welcome to the Nintendo Fusion Podcast, a podcast that fuses past, present, and future Nintendo thought. I'm David, accompanied by my friend Jordan. Now, Jordan, I unfortunately don't have any good riddles this week. It seems that we have exhausted most of the funny and not dirty and naughty jokes that I can find online.
The end of an era.
Well, maybe I'll find some more, come up with some. We'll see. Maybe people will provide me with some. Send me any recommendations if you have any. So last week we talked quite a bit about our hopes and dreams and expectations for 2024. Now, a lot of that rides on the fact that the Switch 2 is, I guess, projected to release this year. We don't have any official confirmation. So what are we going to do on this episode, Jordan?
So we're going to talk about some features we would like to see from the Switch 2. We're both operating on the idea that the Switch 2 is a successor to the Switch and that it's not going to be too big on its changes. Maybe it'll have a gimmick or two. We could even talk about potential gimmicks if you want.
I mean, the only gimmick that I think is likely is better motion controls. Just that'll be their big thing is look how great we can make it. But we can talk about that a little bit more later.
We could talk about it now, actually.
Okay, well, let's talk about it now.
Yeah, there's one big like gimmick I think is possible that I actually am surprised I haven't seen very many people talk about. And that is VR. We saw with Labo where they had you like create a headset, right, to put your Switch on for simulated VR. I could see a potential upgraded Switch that has like more like capacity to it. Coming with a dedicated headset, and then they're like, that's how they define this as like the new next thing, where they're like, look, it switches between portable TV and now VR. This is a new device.
I could see that. I think they'd have to show some very compelling games, and I don't think that they would do the VR stuff in like the base game. It would be like an expansion later.
Well, so we're also talking about Metroid Prime being a potential released game, right? What game would be better to demonstrate VR and its like graphical capabilities than Metroid Prime? Because the whole like one of the main gimmicks of Metroid Prime is all the different like effects that happen to your visor. And now that's going to be your actual visor.
I think it'd be very cool. I don't really care for VR right now.
And when I'm talking about, like, I think most of their games would just be kind of like standard TV experiences with VR capability built in. But they still could potentially do like VR focused games.
Yeah.
I think VR is kind of a gimmick, but I could definitely see it being the gimmick Nintendo goes for, especially since they kind of dabbled a bit with it during the original Switch.
See, my biggest problem with VR is dealing with glasses because I also have a terrible astigmatism, so it's very hard to calibrate any sort of lens that isn't an actually professionally made set of glasses. So I've tried playing with like an Oculus and it cannot figure out, how to configure it so that I don't have to wear my glasses, and my glasses are too big to fit underneath the headset as well. So that's one of the biggest turnoffs for me for VR. Plus I really like the sit down on a couch and enjoy a TV experience, but so I think it'd be cool. It's just not a gimmick that I'm interested in at all.
Yeah. I'll admit I'm not too interested in this, but it's just something I could see Nintendo doing. If they were to go about it, though, they would definitely be going on the angle that it switches between VR and a traditional TV experience. So I wouldn't be worried too much that it would like change the entire paradigm of how the games are made. It'd be equivalent to like the 3D slider on the 3DS, I think.
Yeah, I hope so, because I think it'd be cool. But I don't know. I would just hope that games don't suffer from trying to jam too much VR potential into them.
Yeah. You know? I mean, it's not going so hot for Sony's VR system right now.
Yeah.
But Apple has their new like AR glasses coming out. I can see kind of the rest of the industry moving more towards that, especially with like Meta. when they would have been in the planning stages, Meta would have been considered like the future, even though it's completely fallen apart since then.
Yeah. What was it called? The metaverse or something?
Yeah.
Where people were just floating torsos.
Yeah. I think VR is still like a gimmick that the industry is very interested in capturing. And I can see Nintendo trying to go after that, especially since there's not a lot of different like things you can do with the Switch from a gimmick perspective. And I don't know, maybe Nintendo does just go with the more beefy system route, but
I mean, that's my preference.
Yeah.
And like I was saying earlier, like I could see them really upgrading the Joy-Con's motion control sensitivity so that it's even more accurate than it currently is. I think it's great, but my biggest issue has been with Pikmin 4 and Metroid Prime, where the Joy-Cons used as just pointers, like back on the Wii, they just don't work quite as well. And so I could see them, you know, if they're going to port more Wii games over, have better technology for the Joy-Cons in that regard. And who knows, maybe they'll actually start using the IR sensor and make that better. I don't know.
I mean, the IR sensor currently is facing towards you, the player, but
yep.
It's in the wrong direction. And it would be really hard to put it in the correct direction because that's where your trigger buttons go.
I know. They'd have to do something like the Wii's pointer, where it's just like you just hold farther back down on it. And instead of wrapping your fingers up and over, they just kind of rest back behind, which could work.
Yeah.
I mean, Steam Deck has triggers back there, right? Like that's not like where the main ones are, but you can still get away with on the bottom triggers.
Yeah, but those are more for like just extra buttons for your other fingers to press.
Right.
Kind of like macros. I don't know.
I don't necessarily. If they were to go with like a more
Wii approach, I would hope that they rethink it on how to get two triggers back there.
Yeah.
And I don't want my triggers to just be like just buttons. I want them to have kind of like a range of control where the harder you press, like it can tell like how hard you are pressing the triggers.
Yeah. I mean, technology's come a long way since the Wii era. Maybe they could fit an IR sensor between the two buttons so that you still have the more traditional style, the way that the like Switch Pro controller is set up, but like you spread your fingers apart just a teensy bit more. I don't know.
Maybe my fingers are just too fat for that. They're going to have to really make these controllers larger because I feel like the Joy-Cons are way too small as is. I had to go buy third-party Joy-Cons just to be able to use the Switch in portable mode.
Yeah, did you get those ones that were like those extra wide shapes? Oh, yeah, the Hori pads, yeah. Those are cool.
They're really good.
I mean, yeah, I don't play enough in handheld. So when I did play a lot in handheld, I just bought one of those cases. Or not like a case, it's more like a stand thing where you could slide your Switch in and it added grips on the back so that the Joy-Cons felt bigger and I didn't necessarily need bigger Joy-Cons. That worked. I think the buttons were still too close together for my liking, but the Hori pad looks pretty awesome. And I kind of wish I got one of those.
But yeah, it's nice, especially with how like raised up the joysticks are. It actually kind of has a better feel to it than the Pro Controller.
Yeah. So maybe Nintendo should do a couple of different lines of controllers where you've got like the standard Joy-Con size, but then they have officially made different shapes and models rather than licensing it out to third parties. Though they probably like that licensing money because it's free money for them. They don't have to spend the engineering time and I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe they have some deals with those companies, but maybe Nintendo could give them access to the better parts for the motion controls and stuff, because you can't really use third-party Joy-Cons as well as first-party Joy-Cons for motion.
Yep. It's kind of a problem.
That could be good. Yeah. I mean, same with Pro Controllers. Like, the Pro Controllers don't have motion, like, at all. And many of them can't even be wireless if they're third-party.
The Pro Controllers have motion, don't they?
Well,
they have
gyro. The third-party gyro motion controllers, I mean. The first-party ones definitely do. The third-party ones don't. At least from what I could see. Maybe some new ones do, but
I'm pretty sure there are some new ones that do, but I haven't looked too much into it. I got my Hori pads like back in, what was it, 2019?
Yeah, I mean, I just have multiple pro controllers, so I don't really care. I don't need a third party controller. So, but yeah, I mean, gimmick wise, VR's fine. I just hope that it doesn't take away from the rest of my experience. And I also am with you that the Joy-Cons need some kind of reimagining to make them just a little bit better and more comfortable.
So do they make it so that... so let's say that the Switch 2 is backwards compatible from a software perspective. Do you think it'll be backwards compatible to from a hardware perspective? Because we have a lot of peripherals with the Switch. We got Joy-Cons, Pro Controllers, and the dock.
Yeah. So I would say backwards compatible that they can be used, but I don't think newer games will be able to use them beyond just the buttons, I guess. So if like they were a game requires better motion controls, if there's new motion and stuff, I could see those games requiring the new stuff. But anything else, yeah. I say it would be better if it was, but Nintendo could totally get away with not making the hardware backwards compatible. People would be upset, but then Nintendo would just get sales and hardware.
I think Nintendo will drop support for the Joy-Cons, if anything, just to get away from Joy-Con drift.
Yeah, I could see that.
Just no longer being associated with it. This is their opportunity to actually fix the Joy-Con drift.
Yeah, and since the Pro controllers are so, like, optional, and considering the USB protocol is very simple, my guess is that any old Pro controller, including the wired ones, will still work.
You say that, but the Wii U Pro controllers did not work with the Switch. And there's
But those like use the weird Bluetooth stuff only. All of the Pro controllers now are have a wired mode. And well, maybe they want to get away from that because fans have actually reverse engineered the Switch's Pro controller API, at least for the wired version. So maybe they don't want it to be as easy to like automate games. I don't know.
They might also change the railing for Joy-Cons too.
I could see that. I mean, the Joy-Con railing is the whole reason why you can easily hack version one Switches. You just short two pins when you're booting up the console and it throws it in a weird mode. But
yeah, I could see Joy-Cons being backwards compatible for, and well, I think the Nintendo approach is just going to be old controllers will just work with old games, including the Pro controller. I don't think they'll allow the Pro controller for the new games. They'll have some random feature that will be used by 10% of the games, but because of that random feature, they'll make a hard cut that you can't
use. That's a very Nintendo thing to do.
With the exception, like they right now, they have the ability to use other controllers and like map buttons on the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe going through that software, they'll allow the old Pro controllers. I think the dock is gone though. I don't think the Switch 2 is going to have the same form factor, and the dock is very specific to the Switch's form factor.
Yeah. So you think there's not going to be a dock at all? It's just like
I think there will be a dock, but we're going to have a new dock.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I think
that's what you mean.
I think the old dock, if the specs that have been leaked are to be believed, I don't see the Switch 2 being the same width.
It's going to be thicker. It's got to be thicker for a battery and all of the hardware they're jamming into it, plus thermals. It's got to be at least a little bit bigger.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it's just a bit slimmer than a Steam Deck.
Yeah, I could also see the dock having a fan built in as well to help push air through, because that was honestly one of the biggest problems with the Switch dock at first. If you didn't put it in the right place, some of the more intensive games, especially if you play for a long time, the Switch could actually choke a little bit and get very hot. Remember when the Switches were actually like warping and bending back in version one? Like that was probably because of thermals more than anything. The console couldn't keep cool enough. The new like Switch OLED docks now have a way better like open slot in the plastic to allow air to come in. And I just remember like for the longest time I'd fold down the cover on my docks when I was playing docked just so the air could flow better. So I could see the Switch 2 having a fan as well in the dock.
Yeah. On the topic of docks, I would really like to have the option to have an enthusiast dock. So you have like your base dock that comes with the console, right? That is just, you plug it in, you have a couple ports for your controller and then an Ethernet port. It better have an Ethernet port this time.
I mean, they put them on all of the OLED docks, so I'm sure that the next one definitely will.
And then like the power cord and all that. So like the base level dock is just what the standard user would want. I would like an enthusiast dock that has more ports for controllers. Two is not enough. At least two front facing ones is not enough. If you have a party of four people and you realize that all your controllers are dead, I guess you can always like plug them into walls, but
then they just buy a bunch of external batteries, Jordan.
Jeez.
I agree with you. Having those extra ports would be great.
Yeah. Also, I'd be over the moon if they put GameCube controller ports on the enthusiast dock.
Could you imagine if they like released more GameCube controllers too along with that, but made them maybe a little bit bigger using a lot of the same like design ideas? That would be cool too.
Yeah. Now that we've gone through two generations of requiring the dongle for GameCube controller support, I think Nintendo just needs to be like, all right, fans are just not going to give up on GameCube controllers. Let's just have a dedicated dock that has these. This dedicated dock, you have to buy separately and it'll cost more and it'll be fine.
I mean, I love the sound that the sticks make on the GameCube. It's so good. And if they're going to port more GameCube games in HD, we need the analog-like buttons on the back. You know, they managed to get away with Mario Sunshine having flood work with a pro controller, but the experience was still better even with the GameCube controller because it had that variability to adjust how much you were shooting out your water.
Yeah, so. And especially with like more GameCube games being ported to the Switch, like you said, Mario Sunshine, eventually we're going to get potentially something like F-Zero.
Yeah, that needs it more than anything. Not just, you know, throw that on a button and then use a stick to move up and down to adjust how much power you want or something.
We were talking about triggers that are sensitive triggers. I believe the Switch does not have it, but the GameCube does.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
A game like F-Zero basically needs the GameCube.
Yep.
Unless if Nintendo gives us the sensitive triggers like we were asking right there.
Yeah, I think that'd be awesome. That'd be a really great way to kind of go back and add more options for game developers, because I think that the analog nature or the sensitive controller on the triggers can really make for some interesting gameplay choices as well. So yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
And like you said, a fan for that dock, for like the hardcore gamers who just want more cooling, I guess.
Yeah, I swear third party docks, like you could stick a fan underneath your dock or something to really help it or something. Like fans made, I think I remember seeing back in the early years of the Switch, I don't know if they're still being sold, but it was like when the Switch was docked, you could put like an extra thing on top of your Switch and it would like help pull more air through the console. Anyway.
And then storage is a big issue with the Switch. Nintendo is still caught up on the idea of like, it's the year 2009 where 32 gigs is apparently considered a lot. If they want to get more and more focused on like digital release for games, they need more storage. And maybe there's a bit of a limit of how much they can do on the actual system. I would like the option to have a storage slot on the dock. I don't need all of my games to be portable all the time, right?
Yeah.
And if you put on like a good NVMe or even just a SATA like SSD that can connect through the ports, that'd be great. But
that'd be so cool.
It would also be really sweet if onboard storage was expandable. Where you could just
it doesn't have to be as complicated as like the Steam Deck where you have to crack it open and replace a whole NVMe yourself.
Yeah. Although I imagine Nintendo just doesn't want people messing with the internals. So that one is a pie in the sky.
Yeah. It's like how one of my hopes is being able to replace the battery yourself, you know, so that you could have multiple charged batteries for long trips or something like that. But that's not going to happen either.
No, it's not. Unfortunately, but...
But...
Yeah, I could see expandable storage on the dock being easier than on the machine itself.
Yeah. Now, Jordan, do you know how big the Wii's internal storage was?
Oh, geez. It was like 500 megs or something like that.
Yep.
If I remember
right. That's exactly right. 512 megabytes.
Yeah.
And the Switch has 32 over the course of what? 15 years or something, the Switch only ever had 64 times the amount of storage internally as the Wii.
Yeah, and a big part of that was because Nintendo really compressed their games a lot back in the day. At the end,
to be fair, they still do, but
yeah, but at the end of the Switch's lifespan, they've been getting a lot more lenient. What was it? Tears of the Kingdom was 17 gigs. They still kind of have to because of the cartridges. They get really expensive the larger you get. So you only have so much memory. That's why there's so many games where you have to, like, even if you buy them physical, you have to download half the game or whatever online, because the third party company, even though larger cartridges exist, they just don't want to pay for the cost of that. So they go with the 16 gig carts instead of the 32 gig carts.
Yeah. And I've heard some rumblings that they're upgrading the technology inside the cartridges too, to be better flash so that it's cheaper for people or for vendors and different developers to get the higher cartridges, which they're going to need if the rumored 4K resolution is actually a thing. Like, you can't get away with 4K resolution on a TV with tiny game download sizes anymore. Like,
no.
The textures alone take massive amounts of storage, especially for third-party games that don't pull off the compression voodoo that Nintendo does.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because they're still going to be limited on cartridge space. I think a big reason why Tears of the Kingdom cost an additional $10 was because that was the first time Nintendo released a 32 gigabyte cart.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with that. Or they like specially made a 20 gigabyte cart, which I doubt that. They had the 32s already. They just threw them on the 32s. So.
It was just barely too large to fit on a 16.
Yeah. Hey, maybe that's why the Sky Islands are so empty, is they were really pushing to get it under 16 and didn't quite make it. But then it was too late in development for them to add more.
Oh, man. Oh, we'll eventually talk about Zelda. I'm sorry. I've been playing it.
Oh, I know. I've actually like pulled up my Switch and I've seen you online playing Tears of the Kingdom. I'm like, this is good.
I've been playing it a lot, actually. I probably put in an additional, since the day I said I was going to start playing it again, I've probably played 80 hours.
Well, cool. I'm glad to hear that.
I've made very little story progress.
I started playing it again and I cleared the Great Plateau, so...
You cleared the Great Plateau?
Or not the Great Plateau, the Great Sky Island. Which is honestly,
I think you're on the wrong game.
I want to go back and play Breath of the Wild. But anyway, we're not here to talk about Zelda today.
Well, kind of. There is one feature I really want from the Switch 2 that I was thinking about again with Zelda. I collected every single one of the light routes, right?
Yeah.
And for the reward, you got a medallion or whatever, which is fine. Like, I knew going in that this game doesn't give you much rewards. But if this were a game on literally any other platform, you'd get an achievement, which is it's the same thing. It's a medallion, but it's a medallion that your friends can see that you have online.
Yeah. Like, oh, he got this achievement, or like they could get a little notification. I mean, not all of them do notifications, but at least when someone's looking at your profile, they can see recent achievements or look and see what you've actually pulled off in the game. Like, Jordan, why have you spent 800 hours on Zelda when you don't have any of the trophies, you know?
Yeah.
No, I think that trophies and improved social experiences would be great. Like, they don't need to bring back Miiverse. Just make your online profile just a little bit more interesting with achievements and maybe a little bit of customizability. I don't know.
And people do like achievements. Personally, I prefer the trophy system over the achievement system.
Yeah.
So like Microsoft, they have the gamer score where like each achievement has a certain point value to it. And then like you have like a random point. That one got like really abusable where you would just download like really easy to achieve games. I guess you can still do that with the PlayStation one, but the PlayStation one kind of like separates them out on the list, showing like what you've platinumed and like all your golds and silvers. And it like correlates to the actual game. Whereas.
Yeah. And that'd be really awesome.
Microsoft kind of aggregates them into just a single value.
Well, and I think there's something to said about either achievements or trophies. They honestly make people more eager to play through a game, right? Like, it gives them other checklists, other things to look at and do, and it's fun to say to your friends, oh, I platinumed this game. That's how much I loved it.
Yeah.
Rather than, I 100%ed it, and then you have to, like, go inside and either take a screenshot on your Switch and figure out how to send that to your computer or phone, or, like, take a picture with your phone camera, you know?
Look,
like,
I actually have the golden poop from Zelda.
One of the dumb things about Breath of the Wild's 100% system is like you have to find all of the bridges and town names. And I finally, after literally 7 years, was fed up with not having the perfect 100% on my map. Like, I had done everything else, but I could not figure out which location I had not been to. Turns out it was Princess Zelda's study in Hyrule Castle. And I was like, I swear I have been here before. but now it says 100%, and that would have been an achievement. And I probably would have been more interested in doing that if it was a checklist on my profile, because then people would see it and be like, David hasn't found all of the waypoints on the map. What a shame. I thought he was a big Zelda nerd.
Yeah. And so, last year I actually platinumed 3 games, just because I really liked the games, and it just gave me more reason to go do things that I wouldn't normally do in a playthrough.
Yeah,
I platinumed Wild Frost, like I think I said in our game, our year in review. Or
oh, yeah, yeah. I think you did talk about that. Yeah.
It, despite being a roguelike, like, I absolutely love that game and ended up platinuming it. I went back and platinumed Bloodborne for Halloween. And then I also platinumed Lies of P because I was just absolutely obsessed with Lies of P.
Yeah.
And platinuming the Souls-like games, just there's so much like pride that goes along with that.
Yeah, because they're hard games. And I think that Nintendo makes some pretty hard games, and platinuming a game on a Nintendo console would be cool.
Yeah. I've actually, if Nintendo had trophies, I would collect all the Koroks.
I would too, actually. Because that's like a permanent thing that goes on your profile.
Yeah.
So that'd be cool.
What should Nintendo do instead of trophies? Because they can't be the exact same. So like PlayStation has trophies, Microsoft has points, and Steam has ribbons.
They do badges. Nintendo has used badge as a term forever. It fits with Mario. It fits with like the 3DS Nintendo Badge Arcade, that were those icons that you could put on your 3DS home screen. And like, badge just seems to be a good Nintendo name. Either that or medallion, I guess. But
yeah,
I think badge would work really well.
I think badge would be cool. If they brought back Miiverse, what they could do is give you a reward of like you're building like your own house or something, happy home designer style, and you get furniture.
That'd be cool. I mean, it's kind of like how Metroid Prime 3 could read your Wii's save files and be like, here's some stickers or decals for your ship.
Oh, yeah.
Or like, that. You know, just like have some of that kind of stuff exist. I mean, what I also think would be cool, like, you know, the house would be more online focused, but like kind of bringing back something from the 3DS era with the Nintendo Badge Arcade, which I actually really liked because it was a fun way to customize your home screen. Like, make those badges placeable on your Switch's UI or something.
Oh, yeah. Or like have a like a profile page that friends can come and see.
Yeah, and yeah, you can that too.
Decorate it with your stickers or badges or whatever.
I mean, they do that in Splatoon, right? Like you can get badges and stickers and trophies in Splatoon 3 and you decorate your locker. They should just do stuff like that for general Nintendo accounts. That'd be cool.
Yeah, it'd be really sweet. Nintendo definitely needs to ramp up user profiles and making them more visible.
They finally give us options for like user icons now where you have to get lucky to get different icon designs depending on when they're live in the shop. Maybe they're going to give us more customizability in the future for our profile besides just the icon.
Yeah, I would really like to have the ability to kind of like demonstrate or show how many hours I've played games. Like Nintendo currently has it, which they're clearly tracking the data.
Yeah.
But the UI for it is awful. It only like shows the last games you've played in the last year.
Yeah. I started up Breath of the Wild again earlier this week, and then I opened up the to see how many hours I total had on the game. And it was like back down to 10. I was like, that's not right.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't played it in forever.
Yeah. So it's only like the last year. They don't keep it forever. I wish you could keep it forever just because it's fun to go back and like see just how much you really liked games, especially if you can like sort your library by playtime.
So that would be embarrassing because I automated so much Pokemon that they would just be at the top.
My notifications on Switch are just constantly David's online.
Not anymore. I don't automate as much as I used to.
It's like 2,000 hours or something of Pokemon.
2020 was awesome. Like seeing my year in review, it was like, you basically played Pokemon every day for 10 plus hours or more. It's like, I didn't. My computer did.
I was also kind of upset to find out. So I got an OLED Switch this year. I got the Zelda Edition OLED. And later that year, so actually just a couple days ago, I sorted my library because you can go to like the View All Games tab on your Switch, right?
Uh-huh.
And you can sort your library by playtime. It it tracks your playtime based on hardware.
That's so dumb.
Yeah, so all my playtime I spent on my previous Switch, gone. It's no longer being tracked.
Whereas I can just open Steam on any of the computers I have it installed on, and it tells me how many hours I've played.
Yeah, but no. Switch is now telling me that Pikmin 4 is my most played Switch game, or second most played Switch game of all time.
You're like, no, it's not. That would probably be Smash Bros. Or
Monster Hunter.
Zelda. Monster Hunter. Yeah, that was it.
Actually, maybe it would be Smash Bros. Because with Monster Hunter, I eventually transitioned to PC with Rise. I think it probably goes Breath of the Wild, Smash Bros., Tears of the Kingdom, Monster Hunter Rise for me.
Yeah, okay. For me, I mean, it's like Pokemon games, but that's not my own playtime. After that, it would probably be either Breath of the Wild or Xenoblade 1, because I 100%ed Xenoblade 1 and it took forever. I'd have to think about that.
Breath of the Wild so high up there because I did that crazy 100%, well, not 100% run, the all shrine run where I wasn't allowed to fast travel.
Which, that sounds really fun, but it would drive me crazy.
It was also a 3-heart naked run, too.
Those are so fun. Ugh. I did one of those. I didn't do 100% completion for that, but I did do a naked 3-heart. It was cool because you had to go like farm the dragons so that you could get the fully resistant fire potion so you didn't have to wear those.
Oh, that's
you didn't have to wear pants.
I collected apples.
You just ate apples all the way through Death Mountain.
Yeah. I got to the Goron shop and like talked to the shopkeeper and he has a custom response when you do that, where his eyes like pop open. He's like, buddy, you're on fire.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, I got dragon parts so I could make like 8-minute full resistant potions. So, I mean, that took a while. Farming the dragons is a lot of work if you don't go to the right one, but
yeah.
Anyway,
my roommate was losing his mind because I even did the whole dungeon with just apples. three hearts.
Yeah. That's impressive.
I had a lot of apples.
Yeah. That must be why when we talked about Breath of the Wild several months ago, you were like, yeah, or before Tears of the Kingdom came out, like, yeah, I sure hope that they nerf the food system so I can't just pause and scarf down apples. Like, I hadn't realized that comment came from experience of just scarfing down probably thousands upon thousands of apples in Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, I also did it in the ice region too. So apples were broken because there's just so many of them.
Yeah. So anyway, like kind of talking about some other online based stuff since we were talking about profiles. You know, this is something that's on the list. I think you put this on here, but I think we've been talking about it ever since the Switch came out. And that's integrated voice chat, right?
Yeah. Like, they have the phone app, David. The phone app.
Hey, remember when was it the Switch when they, or was it the Wii U when they had that, like, no, it had to have been the Switch where they had the headset that took in two audio inputs so that you could plug it into your phone and your Switch so that you could hear both at the same time.
Yeah, that's the phone app, right? With the Switch?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I believe, if I remember correctly, the reason why they didn't have integrated voice chat was just because Nintendo didn't think about it when designing the Switch. And just didn't get enough RAM. They allotted a certain amount of RAM to operating system and then the rest of it to the game. And they're like, yeah, 2 gigs is all we need because this is what we allotted for. And it didn't like occur to them. Oh, there might be some other features that we might want.
Yeah, later. But, you know, if the 12 gigs of RAM on the Switch 2 is an actual thing that's happening, they could make it work now.
Well, maybe like if the system's also getting more beefed up.
True.
But so in the first half of the Switch's lifespan, people were really angry that there was no integrated voice chat. You don't really hear about it anymore.
Yeah, because everyone just resigned and switched to Discord.
Yeah, which isn't great because it's so annoying to like hear the game volume through your friends like mics.
Yeah, like what I would do is I would get like earbuds and then over the head headphones so that Discord was in earbuds and then the game audio was in over the ear.
Yeah, my friends are not as
smart. No, just kidding.
Not smart. Not you know.
Resourceful.
Considerate.
Like, got it.
To be fair, I'm also not as considerate as you.
Yeah. Eh, it's okay. I didn't ever do that too much. I don't really play much with friends online, which maybe I can change with the Switch too if they're good games. I don't know. But yeah, voice chat that should be on there. Yeah, other kind of more online based features, like could they please fix the eShop?
It is so laggy. It drives me insane. Are they just doing an API call like every time you change anything?
Or is it do they have to load an Electron app for like the eShop or something? Like what is happening under the hood that makes it so bad? It's either a billion API calls or it's like a web app that they have to show and the Switch just cannot handle web rendering very well. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's so bad. It's gotten to the point where I just avoid the eShop at all costs.
Yeah, same. At least they made it very easy to just go to the eShop's website and then you can just click buy and then your Switch will start downloading it if it's on internet.
I hate how if you go to the navigation bar and you want to scroll down to a certain button, you have to go through each button individually and have it load its page before you could go to the next one. It drives me absolutely bonkers.
And I mean, while they're fixing the lag issues with the eShop, they should make it more useful, right?
Yeah. So like basically turn it into Steam. Add recommendations, add
like one of those like daily cycle throughs. Like here are the top 10 picks we think you should get today or something like that.
And like people who also bought games like what you bought or whatever, bought these, user ratings would be a big one. There's a lot of shovelware on the eShop. It'd be real nice to have some user ratings in there to combat against that.
Yeah. Just to be like, this is a 0-star game. They literally just took a Unity demo and put a skin over it. That's it or whatever.
And then also just give us returns. Steam recently, and by recently, I mean like within the last 5 years, basically made it so that if you've played less than 2 hours, they'll let you return the game, no questions asked.
That's awesome.
And it's like, been a big, big thing with Steam. Because like 10 years ago, shovelware was rampant on Steam.
Yeah, yeah. And now that there's an option to return it if you have less than 2 hours, like, you know it's shovelware and you immediately just say, nope, bye. And yep. It's great. It kills off all of the junk stuff because then they're not making money off of it. And I imagine, like, if there are too many returns, Steam might penalize them, right? Like, I don't know if that's the case.
I don't know.
But, I mean, yeah.
They might just, like, make it so they don't ever show up on the front page.
Yeah, that'd be good. But, yeah, like, the eShop just needs some good stuff. Like, there are returns on the Switch eShop. But you like have to go through Nintendo's customer portal or something. And I remember some websites made a big deal out of Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl allowing returns. Or no, it was Scarlet and Violet. Like, Nintendo's allowing returns on Scarlet and Violet. I was like, I think they've been able to do that for a while. It's just now a lot more people are doing it.
Yeah, I actually wasn't even aware that they allowed returns.
Yeah, it's not nearly as seamless as Steam. And I think it would be better if it was like Steam where it's like, oh, yeah, if it was less than X amount of time, no questions asked. So,
well, I guess Steam does ask a question. They ask, why do you want to return this? And then they just.
Yeah.
But I think that's more just for like, I don't know, collecting
feedback
data.
For the developers.
Yeah,
or something.
Feedback. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they should also improve wish lists. Now, they already have a wish list system. You can just heart something. And the website says that you can share it with friends and family, but I don't know if friends and family can buy it for your account.
Nope.
Like, as a gift.
You cannot gift games on the eShop. I did check that one on Nintendo's official page.
Got
right
it.
Before this podcast. Yeah, it would be nice to be able to gift people games. Especially if like my friend is in a different country. I have a bunch of friends in Canada that I like to send gifts to for Christmas or birthdays. And it's kind of painful to like mail an eShop card through customs. It's pretty expensive to mail stuff to Canada.
Yeah. And just being able to grab a game and say, hey, I really like this game. Boom, here you go. Or even like a digital gift card, right?
Yeah. Or even if it's just like, on sale.
Yeah.
Like, that's one thing that Steam is usually known for doing pretty well. Their winter sales or summer sales. And sometimes just like, oh, hey, Pony Island is $1. Send it to everyone.
Yeah, not a bad idea. But like, I could also see it being very useful for kids to their parents and grandparents, like, you know, send them a wish list. Like, my grandma, you know, I'm in my 30s now, and my grandma still like is just for Christmas is like, give me an Amazon wish list and I'll just buy random things off of that for Christmas. I think a lot of people would be very grateful, especially to kids and teenagers. If it's like, what do you want for Christmas? And they can just say, well, get me this game digitally on the Switch. But then they don't have to give a gift card or whatever. It's just like, boom, there's the game. You're done.
Yeah.
So
it kind of wraps around to the profile idea where it would just be nice to be able to check people's profiles and see what, like what kind of games they want.
Yeah. I mean, even if people are just like looking at the wish list and then just say, oh, hey, saw that you wanted this and I just decided to purchase it for you. Like, I think Nintendo would probably get more digital sales if such a feature existed.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I don't think this the Switch was like they knew they wanted digital games, but it's not like the Switch itself was already a big leap from the Wii U. Let's be real.
Yeah, that's true. And I guess with Nintendo's big focus on digital and online, which we saw from their big investor meeting last year, I imagine a lot more of these features are actually on the way.
Yeah. At the very least, if it's not at launch, start updating the system.
Oh, yes.
It's amazing how many features were there at launch for Switch. They never like improved anything for the UI.
Yeah, which that's like one of my big things is UI improvements for the console. Like, I think it's awesome how fast and snappy and simple the Switch's UI is. But there are so many improvements over the last 7 years that I wish they would just make, right? Like, even just small things. I still don't understand why, you know, they added controller remapping. What was it, 2 years ago or something like that? why is it buried under system settings? And why do you have to go through like a million options just to get to it? Like remapping buttons is very important, especially for like an accessibility standpoint, that I wish that there was an easier way to do it. And that you could even set custom mappings for individual games. Like say, please use this one every single time for Mario Kart or whatever. Like that would just be such a nice improvement for me.
Yeah. I think it'd be pretty sweet if like, yeah, as you like scroll through your games that it changes the background to an image of the game.
Oh, that'd be so cool. Oh, that'd be so cool. And like, I mean, even if you were to scroll over one of the icons, if it like grew out into the rectangle and showed the box art for the game rather than just the really boring square icon, that would add just a little bit of movement and make it feel more alive, right?
Yeah.
Plus you'd see the box art, and people that buy digital only never get to see the full box art.
Bring back the Wii sounds for when you open up an app. So like whenever you clicked on like a game or whatever, it would have like a dedicated sound.
Yeah.
So like Mario Kart would be screaming, trailers. It's Mario Kart or something.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be so good. I'd love it if there were more sounds. Like Nintendo has always had really good UI, I think, for consoles. Mm. Well, maybe not perfect, right? Like the Wii U's was,
yeah, I was gonna say the Wii U.
Messy.
The Wii U's like, pretty bad.
But like the Wii, you know, they could show a lot of stuff on that one screen.
Oh yeah, the Wii was great. The Wii U was awful. The Wii U was trying to push that Twitter stuff, the Miiverse, so hard.
Well, and it just took forever to load.
Oh man.
And was so unresponsive. Like the 3DS also had a really great vibe. And like the one thing that everybody has been clamoring for since day one is themes for the Switch UI. Like, yeah, the Switch probably couldn't handle it with how much RAM and resources it had available to it, you know, just for the operating system. But like, it would be so cool to be able to refine the console back to any sort of theme. Like, my favorite themes on the 3DS were like the Xenoblade theme, where it played the awesome Gower Plains music, or the Majora's Mask Clock Tower theme, where it played the Song of Healing. Like, I want that back. You know, I mentioned the Nintendo Badge Arcade. I think it'd be cool to be able to put badges and stuff in icons and sort everything so that you didn't just have 10 games, but you could pin games at different locations. Like you could on the 3DS, because I knew where all of my favorite games were. I knew where my daily games were, because on the 3DS, I'd open up Animal Crossing or like Pokemon Picross just for a few minutes. And it made it much easier to remember, oh yeah, I own this game. I can play this game. I just think the Switch needs that. The Switch too.
Yeah, it feels really bare bones. And when the Switch came out, everyone's like, don't worry, guys, don't worry. It'll just take them like a few months and they'll give us themes. And it's been 7 years.
And we still only have light and dark mode.
Yep. Do you want dark mode or do you want blinding white mode?
Yeah. I mean, it could be a less harsh light mode.
Yeah.
Pastel light modes exist. I don't know. I feel like they could make a lot of improvements. Now that they have the operating system just so locked down from a security standpoint and from like a feature standpoint, I'm really hopeful that the Switch 2 makes these adjustments. You know, here's hoping. Well, to kind of wrap up, I guess, like one of our last topics, we could talk just briefly about some of the most recent hardware news, or at least leaks.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have to go into super detail, right? But, you know, what kind of power are we looking at? What's realistic? What's being leaked? And what do we think will actually happen?
So we got a recent leak from, what's it called? Universo Nintendo, which is, I believe, Brazilian.
Yeah, there was a Portuguese site.
And people are, and apparently this is like an actual journalist who has like their neck in the game. And they have like a history of leaking like dev kit specs in the past. I'm not too well versed in this. I'm sure there's plenty of videos yeah. online that you can go find about this. But the specs are pretty powerful.
They're nuts for a Nintendo console.
Yeah, they're a lot more powerful than I was expecting. Last week we were talking about what we were expecting for the year. And I was expecting the Switch 2 to be maybe just barely below the Steam Deck in power. And this is like from a teraflop perspective, while dock is like what, 3 times the power of a Steam Deck?
Yeah, like almost 3 times, because the Steam Deck was like 1.6 teraflops and these current are anywhere between 3.5 to 4.5, I think.
Yeah.
So almost 3.
With apparently 12 gigs of DDR5 RAM.
Could you imagine a console with 12 gigs DDR5 RAM as a handheld? Oh, amazing.
Yeah, like the specs put it just barely, I don't know, in the same ballpark as like a PS4 Pro, which is absolutely insane for a handheld.
Yeah.
And that actually aligns with what people were saying after the, like, what was it? It wasn't Gamescom. It was the...
It wasn't PAX either, was it?
No, it was the one...
I don't remember
which conference. In late August, I forget, where Nintendo revealed, like, something spec-wise to developers. Apparently, Nintendo claims it wasn't the Switch 2. It was likely just a PC spec'd with what they're expecting for the Switch 2. And people were saying that they were expecting it to be around the same power as a PS4 Pro. And that seemed too good to be true. And now we have this leak, which is kind of in line with what people were saying back then, from others claim a credible source. Maybe it's possible.
Yeah. And that was just for our listeners' sake. It was Gamescom. Okay. Where that happened. Yeah. But yeah, like this is nuts. And it kind of makes the $400 price tag more believable, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, if it's more powerful than a Steam Deck and the Steam Deck is $400, then yeah.
Steam's going to have to drop the price of the Steam Deck now.
You know, absolutely.
If it is 400, it's insane. And if it has these specs, it means the console will most likely be capable of 4K, like we were talking about last week. Man.
If it has these specs, we're getting Elden Ring day one. It'll be the equivalent of like Skyrim for the Switch.
Which, yeah, that was crazy too. Could you imagine if, so since they showed off Skyrim in that first initial video, right? Like the video of the Switch 2, if they're repeating what they did with the Switch, they show off, I don't know, Metroid instead of Zelda, and then they cut to Elden Ring on the console like they did with Skyrim. Oh, that'd be nuts. People would go crazy.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, it'd be pretty sweet. I'm still skeptical of this.
I am too.
It's just kind of too good to be true. The technology is there. True. Nintendo could do this. It's not like this is outside the realm of possibility. I still am of the mindset, I can't believe Nintendo would go above $300 for a system. Yeah. And I don't think they're going to be pushing hardware innovation at all.
But maybe this new Nintendo, with the non-creators at the helm and the more business-like people, think that this is the way that it should go. I don't know. You know, we've been talking about how over the last few years, the Nintendo leadership has shaken up quite a bit, you know. The CEO is no longer an actual game developer, right? Yeah. We have the old creatives are now mostly in like producer roles or creative help roles, like things that Nintendo are changing and modernizing. So I think it's highly possible that this is the route that they're going, but it just still boggles my mind. And I don't want to believe it right now. Well, I want to believe it, but it makes it hard, right? So I don't know. I think that this is a good sign. To be fair, I think that people leaked over-specced stuff for the Switch back before it came out as well. So, you know, that's also a possibility. So a
big part of this leak is that this guy has credibility with leaking dev kits.
And oh, yeah, yeah.
In this spec sheet that he leaked, it says 12 to 16 gigs.
Right.
And I believe Nate the Hate said that the dev kits have 16 gigs of RAM. Like, he himself has already said that. So the 12 to 16 might mean like the 16 is for the dev kits and then the 12 is what we expect for production.
Right. But, because they always overspec the dev kits just a little bit, especially on RAM.
So these might be dev kit specs.
Okay. Well, but if they're dev kit specs, then like the console is going to be just barely under it. Right. Like,
yeah.
Anyway, it's an exciting time. We were talking before the podcast that it seems like Nintendo is not doing a presentation this month. Was that like a leak or something? I don't remember what you were saying.
Oh, it was just, I think it's just speculation. We were just talking before the podcast.
Right, that's what it was, yeah.
That there was some of the journalists, such as Jeff Grubb, are saying that they expect a direct soon, but not this month. Well, I don't think he specifically said not this month, but he was alluding to like early February for a direct.
Yeah, I think that would fit really well. We're still a little bit out from the remaining Nintendo titles this year, which we talked about quite a bit last week. So go listen to that episode for that. But anyway, I'm excited to see the console in person. It's been a very long time, almost 7 years. It's 7 years this March since the Switch came out. Yeah. So it's an exciting time for Nintendo fans, I think.
Hardware gets me excited. Having these longer cycles kind of bums me out, but I get why they do it. And it's probably better for the general consumer anyway. Tech specs on machines are getting so powerful that, I don't know, like most games don't even like utilize the full capacity of systems anymore. So it just makes sense that generations will get longer.
And I don't think there's anything inherently wrong, but I am with you that getting hardware more often is more exciting. You know, I want to upgrade computers all the time.
For someone who plays games a little less often, such as my brother, it's very frustrating when the cycle is pretty quick.
Yeah. I have to buy a console for this one. Dang, I thought I bought one like 3 years ago.
Yeah, especially if you buy into it late. Like,
yeah, which I mean, I feel bad for some of the people getting into Nintendo like this year, you know, like,
listen,
there's a lot of good games on Switch, but
people still buy the old Switch after the Switch 2 releases.
That's true.
I guarantee it. What they'll probably end up doing is when they like prepare to launch this new system, they'll pull off the OLED and the base model Switches from the market, but keep the Switch Lite.
Yeah.
And then
for the kids.
SKUs in quotation marks will be old Switch, but Switch Lite or the new Switch.
Okay.
And that will be their budget console, especially if this is $400.
Yeah.
They need something. And it's also been like kind of a historical thing with Nintendo where they'll make kind of like an extra light version of a system, right? So we might even see a more stripped down light. It gets down to like $150, $100.
Have that be your old Pokemon machine.
Yeah, just something for like kids to play because parents are going to have a hard time justifying buying a $400 machine and handing it to their 6-year-old kid to play Pokemon.
Yeah, I mean, and if it's $400, that might mean the return of more dedicated home consoles, right? Like some families only have one Switch for a family of like four kids or something, but a $400 console makes that even more likely, which is fine, but
like they'll still get it for kids to play games, but it'll be like the family system, like you said,
right like the GameCube used to be, or the Wii used to be, where it would just stay in the family room rather than going with the kids to school or something.
Which is also a big reason why I don't think we're getting anything too substantial with Pokemon dedicated to Switch 2. If we get like a new Pokemon game, it will be for Switch, and then this will also be backwards compatible. Or if this isn't backwards compatible, then it will have two versions where you can get it for either the Switch 2 or the Switch. But I don't think we're going to get a dedicated Switch 2 Pokemon game until we get the equivalent of a Switch 2 Lite.
I could see that. That is definitely something that Nintendo would urge Game Freak to do. Well, anyway, I think that there's a lot of potential for the next console. I think a lot of the stuff that we've talked about is very, I would say, within reach of what Nintendo's willing to do. And I guess we'll have to keep a copy of this set of show notes so that when the console is announced, or I guess launched, when we'll know everything, we can go back and see how accurate we were.
Okay. Well, we're getting the storage stuff wrong. I was just going to say that straight off the bat.
Yeah, we'll just say those were hopefuls.
These weren't like predictions. This is kind of a wish list.
Yeah, a lot of it's a wish list. Some of it is like more, realistic wish list. But anyway, it'll be fun to see like how close it matched this. So anyway, looking forward to the Switch 2. I know you are too, Jordan.
Yep.
Again, new hardware. Is there anything else to talk about?
I think I'm good for now.
Cool. We will definitely talk about the console when it's revealed, hopefully soon. You know, we'll probably do an hour-long episode talking about the 2-minute trailer. that's going to come out.
Assuming a trailer that maybe will hint that Metroid Prime 4 is coming.
Yeah. So we'll have to talk about the console and whatever games are shown on screen. Well, anyway, thanks for listening to this episode of the Nintendo Fusion podcast. We sure appreciate it. Please be sure to leave us a review, a like, a comment, whatever the platform you're on supports. Doing so will help the algorithm do algorithm things and get the show out to more people so that we can, you know, keep doing this because we love doing it. Of course, you can join our Discord by going to nintendofusion.com/discord. That will beam you directly into our server and you can talk about all things Nintendo with us. But with all that said, thanks again for listening to episode 63 of the Nintendo Fusion podcast. We'll catch you on the next one. Bye-bye.
See ya.